Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Today on The Grave Talks, part 2 of Searching for Bigfoot, a conversation with Kev Lestarge. Now, you just mentioned Class B experience, and I came across that earlier. I wasn't familiar with the difference between a Class A experience, Class B. Could you explain that?
Yes, surely. So Class B is more of your auditorial. You hear something, tree get knocked down, but your Class A is you've seen it. Your Class A sighting is basically someone had seen this figure, could see its face or could see its body, literally could see something physical moving, and that's a Class A.
You know, one thing that people would ask, because I just remember when I was a kid, there's that infamous picture of Bigfoot that we've all seen. The black and white one, where that he kind of looks like he's looking at the camera walking somewhere.
So that's the Patterson-Gimlin footage of 1967.
Okay.
And this is where two filmmakers who were actually trying to film a Bigfoot just so happened to film a Bigfoot.
Coincidence?
Is it Hollywood? This is actually where I will say that there's a lot of conflict between, is it a costume? Is it a person? So Levi Makovic, and I'll actually share his book, The Sasquatch Paradox, actually really goes into a deep dive of how it's not possible for it to be a costume.
Okay.
There was another person out there, Bill Munns, who is actually a costume and like makeups artist. He had first generation film footage of the Patterson-Gimlin film of Patty, because of Patterson, of this footage. And so they had really detailed image of this Sasquatch, who was a female, because she, and this is a buzzword, I guess, but like, you know, the pendulous breasts and things like that, they undulated and they went side to side. And at that time, there was no monkey suit that had breasts. And this was a big deal from that discovery. That's kind of the first step. The other thing is, if you look at its gluteus maximus, which is its butt muscles, those actually have, they grow as the creature steps from foot to foot. Later on, you could see a calf muscle, and so on and so forth. This is really where that footage became literally the golden, you know, the holy grail of Bigfoot film, even from 1967, because it was thought to be so, I mean, it just, because of all this, the actual scientific study that has been put on it, can't be misidentified. Now, there are certainly those out there who, in the Bigfoot world or community, you really don't name, but there are those out there who think, you know, who say, no, I was the guy in that Bigfoot costume. The costume was bought here. I used to have it. I don't anymore. Or, I found the costume. In fact, whatever the story might be, but what you're referring to, Carol, is the Patterson-Gimlin footage of 1967. And that is the, yeah, that's to me, it can't be beat even to this day.
So you believe that's a real Bigfoot photo, do you think?
Photo and video footage. I would say that if anyone listening, yes, you can go online, YouTube, whatever.
I'm looking at it right now. I just Googled 1967 Bigfoot photo, and there it is.
And there's
a little video too.
And actually online, you'll see that it's been so well cleaned up that this thing walking, and it doesn't, this is one of the other things that was kind of came out of that footage, where it doesn't walk actually parallel like our feet do, like humans' feet. It actually swings its feet in a straight line. Now, candidly, it's hard for me to see that, but knowing that that's perhaps what's happening and that's what other footprints show, you can kind of begin to see that. And there was also, again, by Bill Munns, who actually looked at the footage with the camera, and it was a different camera that Patterson was using. I think the lens and the camera were different. I don't quite know the specifics on that, so other Bigfoot nerds might dock me a few points on that. But what I would say is they've actually realized that Patty, because of the distance it was from the camera and the lens that it was using with that camera, puts Patty at about 7.5 feet tall.
Are there other photos out there that you find credible? Because that's really the one. And that's what people will say, like, but there's no evidence of it. If they're around, someone would have seen one by now or another one by now.
I guess I would have to ask someone who says there's no evidence what their definition of evidence is. Because there's footprints.
Like you were talking about the footprints, yeah.
That's right. There's footprints, that's a big one. Hair samples, there are hair samples out there. There have been studies out there. The problem is that a lot of these hair samples don't come back conclusive because it doesn't match anything. Why doesn't it match anything? Because we can't match anything to a Sasquatch. So
there's nothing to compare it to.
Makes sense. I think where this gets muddy for those who are really trying to prove its existence is either people's stories, whether they're frankly just lying and they want a couple minutes of fame, whether they are, you know, from the olden days and say, I've got that Patterson-Gimlin costume in my attic. People go online saying that, you know, they have Bigfoot in their fridge. There has been many sideshow carnival-esque type events where they show a Bigfoot and then that disappears. I think it really starts to kind of, it just really hinders those who are really trying to make this a scientific fact. It just takes us steps back every time something like this happens, because people become dishonest. And again, maybe it's the money, but it really does relate to the fact that there's enough evidence out there if you looked hard enough and if you listen to enough people's experiences that there's got to be something.
It just reminds me so much of people investigating the paranormal. There's similarities in that. You can show them a photo and they can say, yeah, but the photo was doctored. You could show them video. Yeah, but that was doctored. I say this, like if Jesus came back tomorrow, would anybody believe him, you know? Because we're all
that's right. I would probably say, yeah, it would be AI induced if Jesus came back, right?
Right. Everybody, and even the people who are waiting for Jesus to come back, I don't think they could agree that, yeah, we're going to get behind that guy because nobody ever agrees these days.
Then I would also ask them, how much are they willing to go to have their own experience? Because as I said, you can actually be in your house and just look down the, you know, look out your back door and actually have an experience. There are places that are hotspots for an experience.
There was on a recent episode about Ella J, Georgia. There was a man, that's exactly what happened to him. Now, he lived out in a very, very wooded area outside of town, but that's what happened to him. I don't know that he saw the Bigfoot, but he heard it. And there was a weird kind of screeching sound, or there was something. I can't remember now what it was that he heard. Very unusual.
It could be a howl. It could be some type of vocalization. There's also... the buzzword is samurai chatter, like the old, like an old Asian ninja movie where and that is reported to be more of their language. There's been studies on the fact that they're, I would also call out the Sierra sounds. The Sierra sounds are a recording where it was basically this very, what seems to be very close to this microphone, Bigfoot making vocalizations and actually speaking in a way that was too, it was very fast, but this researcher, his last name was Nelson, he was a part of the military and he did a bunch of audio recordings and he could kind of decipher syllables and things like that. And he said, there's actually a language here.
That's interesting. But that kind of makes sense. I think there's a language between my cats. You know, I can hear my cats meow differently for different reasons. My dog barks differently for different reasons. So I think there is a communication that they have. So why wouldn't they have different vocalizations? I mean,
this is totally the belief that they actually do have a language. Even if you're out there and you hear a wood knock or stones clacking. Now they could be clacking stones together, or they could be somehow doing this with their hands or their mouth. Or again, there's never been any video footage of them doing this or producing a sound. So like, we don't know. To your point about Georgia, it's like, there are plenty of other folks' experiences out there that have, you can't discredit someone's experience. I'm sorry, but you can't. And this is where I'll even get into the woo side of things, where someone had an experience where they witnessed a Bigfoot coming out of a UFO, carrying a briefcase, but was also like handcuffed to this briefcase, like the Blues Brothers, and like, you know, everything, you know, disappeared. I wasn't there. This person, you know, if someone's never lied before, or if they're like, why would they make up something like that? It just doesn't add up. So for me, if someone has a very out of left field experience like that, take it with a grain of salt.
It kind of that sort of experience kind of sounds like there was some mushrooms involved or something.
It's one of those things where
something,
it's like something
induced that.
I can't possibly believe you. It would be my knee-jerk reaction. Like, okay, next. Like, clearly on something. But
I've had experiences in my own life that there are people who are going to say, you are absolutely crazy. Like, how could that have happened to you? And I don't know.
The fact that I saw this glow of amber light that I can't explain, that's not my own fault. I didn't want to experience that. But I find that it's important to tell, because there's been enough instances where people, very, very normal, experiences some type of orb activity in the forest, and they think that their eyes are playing tricks on them, or it's the moonlight, or whatever it might be. It's okay to have those experiences, and it's okay that that would be a part of your story.
Yeah.
I think what's important is that you share it, because there could be someone else out there who doesn't want to admit that they saw orbs, or that they heard something, or that they saw something. And this is what I find so comforting, in fact, about the Bigfoot community, or any type of paranormal community, is that there are people out there who are very accepting of what you have to share.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, like, in your experience, what I find credible is that it isn't the typical Bigfoot story that you would expect. If someone's making up a BS story, that's not the story they're going to share, the one that you shared. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm not winning points by anybody. I'm not getting paid to say it. I'm not, you know, like, yeah, there's no incentive for me to make something like that.
And I think that it would have been a different, more traditional story.
There, one great story that I'll share is by Albert Ostman, who was a Canadian explorer, I want to say. And this was early 1900s-ish, 1930. He was very old, in like 1930 times or 1940s. But this recording was captured of him giving his version of the story, where he was out exploring or camping, and he went to sleep. And sure enough, he got picked up in his knapsack, in his sleeping bag, by a Bigfoot, carried what I think he said was miles, him not saying anything. He had all of his gear at the bottom of his, you know, bag, so like dangling by his feet were all of his materials, coffee, things like that. When he was finally laid down, he opened up his sleeping bag, and he was basically surrounded by a family of Bigfoot. I think the story goes, if I'm remembering correctly, is that he was kind of supposed to possibly be this female Bigfoot's companion. Oh. At least that's what he said. It was a possible, like, he felt as if that was a thing. So every time he tried to kind of leave the circle, the male Bigfoot would always stop him. And he was only officially let go once the other Bigfoots had left. And this male Bigfoot was kind of hanging around to kind of watch him. But then Albert said, okay, well, if I'm going to stay here and be stuck here, I'm going to make some coffee. Well, as soon as he tried to make some coffee, the Bigfoot grabbed the coffee grounds from him and chugged it, you know, with the water or whatever. And his eyes lit up, and he freaked out, and it burned his throat, and he didn't like that, and he kind of ran off. Well, that was Osman's clue to say, okay, here's my breakaway moment. I'm getting the hell out of here. But that's this person's story.
That reminds me of the Frankenstein movie, the really old one, the black and white one. You know what the scene I'm talking about? Was smoke. And so Frankenstein takes the cigar and does the same thing. Like,
so
he tries to smoke and he freaks out.
I'm remembering the Mel Brooks version of that.
And
yes,
that one is hysterical.
Yeah.
I love that movie. But, you know, it's a very similar thing.
It's one of those stories that's like, it's so fantastical. How could you possibly? But in the Bigfoot community, that's actually thought to be a very true circumstance that this Albert Ostman experienced. Pretty nuts.
Well, it is to me. I think the part of the story that I find least credible is the guy's like, I'm going to make some coffee. I don't give two shits about you, Bigfoot.
That's right.
I'm going to make some coffee.
I'm going to make some coffee. Or And maybe I have it wrong. So again, my fellow Bigfoot nerds, I apologize if I'm butchering the story. Or perhaps the Bigfoot grabbed, it was either coffee, now that I'm remembering, or it was tobacco.
Either one.
I actually think it might have been tobacco, now that I'm thinking about it.
But, like in the Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's right. So, maybe he downed tobacco. I think that's what it was. But it was just still the idea that you're surrounded by Bigfoot and like, well, I got nothing else to do. I'm going to open up my chew because I don't know what else I'm going to do. Like, I don't know.
At some point, and I'm going to guess this was kind of in the back of your mind for a while since this has been an interest of yours for a very long time, but you wrote Billy Finds Bigfoot, and this is a children's book.
I did.
This was it because you're a dad and becoming a dad and being interested in that? Okay.
Funny enough, this was pre any type of children in my life. I wanted to write this story, number one, because I love to draw, so that all my illustrations are there, with, of course, some assistance with my publisher, Hangar One. What I would say is, the reason why I wrote this is because I was just wanting to share with the younger generation that, number one, there's some actually hard lessons in life that someone might have to go through.
Yes.
Whether it's just being interested in nature, I think is actually very hard these days. I think the easiest thing to do for a child is give them a tablet, give them an iPhone, get them outside, get them exploring the woods, have them send them out with crayons and a blank pad of paper and have them draw what they see on nature. One of the lessons that I think is very challenging, I think even for adults, is to actually acknowledge what you have in front of you. So as Billy goes off into the woods, and as he is in search of this elusive white fox that he hears about, and he meets Bigfoot. And Billy is very courageous, perhaps maybe a little too courageous to talk to a Bigfoot, but he says, "Hello, I'm looking for this white fox. Have you seen him?" Bigfoot acknowledges Billy and says, "You know, I know what you're looking for, but why don't you stand up here in this specific lookout, the special lookout? You'll see actually all these animals of the forest." And Billy goes, "Oh my gosh, you know, I've seen it all, but like, I'm still not seeing this white fox. I'm so bummed." So, not to provide a spoiler alert, but he then goes home and he shares with his parents. They're like, "Man, you know, I didn't see this white fox." And then they end up telling him this story about Bigfoot and how Bigfoot is the most elusive creature in the forest. Well, what Billy realizes is that, oh man, I was sitting here looking for this white fox, but all along, the entire day, I was with a Bigfoot. I think it's something that I would love to teach early with my children is really value and appreciate what you have in front of you, because it might not always be there. I think even as adults, that is something super hard to learn.
You know, and it also has this kind of side thing that everything that we have talked about for the past hour about Bigfoot and being elusive and people believe or don't believe. And in this book, he encounters a Bigfoot, but doesn't know it and accepts it for what it is.
Yep.
And
because Billy just thinks that
is not questioning
this
anything.
Creature is just another forest nature loving being.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good lesson for children and adults.
Because that's right.
I think that lately it's gotten to where I feel like people don't have a lot of acceptance of other people and they're judgmental. And it's like you can have this really beautiful experience with a Bigfoot, for example, in Billy, you know?
Yeah, that's the world I would love to live in. But I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, that might be the next book, is the fact that we don't live in that. Sorry, kids.
But hate to ruin it for you, but well,
yeah,
kids.
spoiler alert.
I'm going to prepare you for what the world is really like.
But I think that that's, again, why I'm so drawn to this community and the people that you do meet and the people that you speak with, for myself personally, in podcasts, where they're interested. They want to know more. They want to talk to you. They want to talk to you about your experiences. They want to get to, frankly, they'll even, not that you're going to BS anybody, but like, they'll take your story at face value and be like, okay, that happened to you. Here's what happened to me. And before you know it, you are sharing these experiences that are outside of any other circle, perhaps outside of any paranormal circle, is going to be considered bonkers, but you're accepted right away. And I think that there are very few circles out there in whatever you're interested in that will actually take you at face value.
I find it interesting because I do find the communities, the paranormal community, the Bigfoot community, cryptids, you know, the whole umbrella.
Right.
I find there to be some similarities. And, absolutely, you know, I feel like in the paranormal community, they're not quite as, some people are very willing to work with other people. And then I find that there's some that are in it for different reasons. And I've talked about this before, but I feel like there's some people that aren't in it for discovery and research.
It's not.
It's more clicks. Yeah.
It's not. And maybe I should not make this so kumbaya. It's mm-hmm. not.
Yeah, because I think there are some people who are in it for, you know, they will put together some video that might or might not be real and claim that it is. And, you know, I think those are the people in it for the wrong reasons. But I think there's a community of people who are in it for the right reasons and who want to
sure. yep.
share the information, share what they've found, because I think what you discover and you meet someone who has a similar experience but can add on to yours a little bit. You put all that together and it's really interesting information.
I would say take media and things you research and find out online, take that with a grain of salt. There are plenty of books out there that are better sources of information. There are plenty of people out there that you might go on an expedition, which again, you don't have to, you can literally go in your backyard, that would have stories and information to share. But yes, always be, what's the right word? I would not weary, but like maybe perhaps cautious. Like,
yeah.
You might hear the Bigfoot coming out of a UFO with a, you know,
briefcase
handcuffed to a briefcase, or you might hear the, I was put in a sleeping bag. You know, I was in my sleeping bag, picked up, walked for miles, and I, you know, left because I gave this Bigfoot a tobacco. Okay. I think at least being there and talking to people is one thing. But certainly in this day and age, AI is going to ruin a lot of, again, this is going one of these things where it's going to take us back. There's already, I think, plenty of fake Bigfoot footage out there that's using AI, and AI is getting just so good within like the last year of its existence that you almost don't know anymore. So I think what it's going to cause people to do is start to have their own experiences, or at least push them to say, I'm done watching videos. I can either A, only go back to books to do some armchair research, or I'm going to have my own experiences. I'm going to try to figure out where the hot spots are in a forest or X, you know, area X, whatever, and go there and just camp and have my own experience and hopefully a story to tell.
Well, and I just think because I have not had any Bigfoot experience, nor do I plan on having one.
But do you want to?
No, I don't. I don't want to go. With all respect to all your expeditions, I love that for you. But for me, I don't want to be in a forested area at night hearing things walking around me. And I don't know that I can handle it. I'd be the one running back to the car.
It makes me certainly question why I do that. And
it's a thrill too.
It is, but with a growing family and all these other things, and I don't know, there's also wackadoos that are out there in the forest, and there's, you know, volcano pits that are, you know,
and I always say,
Pacific, and I'm like,
it's a good place for a serial killer.
Yeah. You know, there's cults out there. There's one of my buddies in out there in Oregon, he calls them the cat people. I'm like, excuse me, the what people? So there's, it's just so many things that could be just detrimental to your physical well-being. That's like, why, what? And so to me, what I find is the most rewarding, I think, is doing my armchair research at this stage of my life, which is reading books, connecting with the, you know, with a couple of friends about the subject, trying to do the best that I can in the comfort and safety of my own home. That, folks, is totally fine. You're still moving the ball in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think today I really enjoyed this conversation. This was much deeper into Bigfoot than I've ever gone with anyone before. And it was really
deeper in the woods than what you thought, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, and because I've talked about it before, but you brought up some really good points, and I found it so interesting. Because I, honest to God, I think there's no reason why Bigfoot wouldn't exist. I think you could so easily hide.
Too many people, too many government arms have come out and said something. My own experience, of course, so... It's just, it'll take time. Hopefully it doesn't end up like a Harry and Andy Henderson situation.
Right. I just like to think of people, I am also vegetarian. I don't kill things. I don't hunt. But
yeah.
So if people go out looking for Bigfoot, the idea of them ever like killing it and bringing it in going, look, we found it. I don't want that. That's not the proof I want. You know what I mean?
There are certain groups out there who are 100% about killing and capturing. I think what's interesting is there is a very predominant group in middle of the country, southern middle country, and they were all about shooting it. And now they're more so thinking, well, maybe we actually have to tag one. Maybe we should...
Capture one on video. Maybe we should study it. Tagging it. I mean, there would definitely be information to if you were to capture and kill one. But by tagging it, my God, you could track it, see where it's going. It would lead you to other ones.
There's so much more scientific information or data that you could get from that as opposed to, okay, now you've killed one. Okay, great. I think... Many out there would say, oh, okay, well, we kind of figured it existed, but now there's a dead one on a slab. Okay, great. Like, but we don't know anything about that. We don't know why it lived the way it lived, who it lived with.
Exactly.
What it's potentially what message it had for humanity, because there are certainly those out there who think that Bigfoot does have a message for humanity, which is... A little bit, I'll tease a little bit here, which is a little bit of a young adult's book that I'm working on that goes into that a little bit about more so the message that perhaps a Bigfoot would have for humanity.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that idea.
Thank you.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for this conversation tonight. This was very interesting.
My pleasure, Carol. Thank you so much for having me.
I really, really enjoyed it. And the book you could get, what's... Like on Amazon, best place to find it?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Hangar One Publishing, on Hangar One's. That's Hangar and then the number one website.
And I'll put a link in the show notes so people can just click right there.
Awesome. And by all means, give me a follow on Instagram at Pine Shadow Design. That's where I got a lot of Bigfoot art and things like that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thank you, Carol.
And that wraps up our conversation with Kev Lestarge about searching for Bigfoot and his children's book,
Billy Finds Bigfoot. Find the book at HangerOnePublishing.com and follow him on Instagram at Pine Shadow Design. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes without commercials, you could become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts, or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.